Romans chapter 14, verse 1. I want to follow up from sermon on whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, do all for the glory of God. And it related to this subject that is in Romans 14 and 15 as well. Got an app trying to update while we're doing this. Romans 14, verse 1. Now, except the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted them. Someone tell Sandra to refresh her webpage. She's not getting the latest. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observes it for the Lord. He who eats, does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord does not eat. He gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live for the Lord. Or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself and what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. I'm in chapter 15 now. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times is written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your instruction. Without your word, we do not have the way to live. Without you, we are unable to make the right decisions, to do things which are pleasing to you. And Lord, your people want to know and do what is pleasing to you. So Lord, I pray that you would teach us again tonight about this matter where we have to deal also with the convictions of others and how they affect the body. And I pray, Lord, we would view this as to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you were around and know the story of the eagle, that eagle on the flag. In our church, one fateful Sunday morning, I arrived to a mess of a man, a member of our church, who had become convinced by reading Romans 1 that morning that the eagle on the American flag was an idol and was not appropriate to have in church. Of course, the whole suggestion was ridiculous. And not an idol, of course, and we told him so, but he persisted. His conscience was weak. And ultimately, the decision was made that since the eagle was a big nothing, the flag was donated by the Women of the World to the church, both the American and the Christian flag. And it was a big nothing, so we'll take the eagle off the flag, no problem. Well, it was a problem to some, turned out. A few on the fringe left and never returned. But after a few months or so, I forget how exactly long it was, this member with a weak conscience came to us and said he saw now that the eagle was not an idol, and so it was put back up where it remains to this day. The passage that guided us in our understanding of that was this passage, Romans 14 and 15. Could have also, gotten from 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, as we looked at this morning. But those were difficult times, and it's difficult any time within the body there is a conflict of this nature or any nature, but where some people see something in a different way than others do. And had we sought our own glory on that occasion, we would have just said forget it, or we'd bolt from the church, as some did, and pitched a fit. From the standpoint of the strong, those of us who had no problem with the eagle, we would have just ignored him at least. But we had to ask, what was God's attitude about this? And the Bible tells us about it. We're not left to go on our own. And those who didn't know that passage just went kind of on their own or didn't care. It wasn't very many. Most everybody understood the problem and were fully on board with the solution. How does God treat us when we're ignorant, when we're weak? How patient is the Lord toward us? What would be most pleasing to the Lord in that kind of situation? That's what we sought, and that's what we ended up doing. Christians are in different places in their maturity. A young Christian has a very early background and foundation of things of God. And sometimes things bother them because they're still sensitive to things now that they basically understood for the first time that there are things that are wrong about what they used to do. And they before, they had no conscience about it at all. Their conscience was not triggered at all about those things. Once they become a Christian, their conscience just pops into overdrive. And they begin to see things that are, you know, not proper, that what they used to do. But they also see things and are sensitive to things that are not moral matters. And this is what we're talking about. When we're talking about moral matters, well, it's not dependent upon personal preference. But our moral matters is a personal choice, a personal preference. And some people think things are wrong that aren't wrong because their conscience is weak and it is easily offended. So they get offended by things that are not wrong. And what are they supposed to do? Just plow through their conscience? No, they're to clear their conscience. They're to understand where it's not a problem. But until they do, they have to be treated with a gentleness. And that is the will of God. Some of this could be a result of legalism. We don't cater to that. Or superstition. We don't cater to that. Or some cultural matter. And if it's unbiblical or unholy ignorance, we wouldn't cater to that at all. But some things don't matter, like an eagle on a flagpole. And it's not worth upsetting a sensitive conscience. It would displease the Lord by pressing someone to act sinfully. In other words, those of us who had no problem with the eagle on the flagpole, we could say, hey, that's not our problem, you know, so it's not your problem, but it was his problem. So we dealt with it, you know, making allowances for him to understand that in time that it wasn't a problem. So as part of Christian life, to use our freedoms with respect to others. Doc would always use the King James Version whenever he went to churches. That's because there are people in churches still that believe that God wrote the King James Version in 18, whatever, the 1611 version we couldn't read. And that if you preach from anything else, it's Satan's word instead of God's word. So rather than fight that battle, which is not a biblical, you know, battle, he just used the King James. I once got my hair cut because the pastor felt it was a serious sin to have my hair touch my ears. I mean, why fight that battle? It's silly. See what happened when I got it cut. But, you know, it just, you don't press it because it's not an issue. Some people think guitars are sinful because Elvis used one and other people. Now, oh, I'm not going to have those devil instruments in the church. Well, they might do well by looking in the Bible for instances of stringed instruments being used in the worship of God. But some people don't think that deep. They get offended. And they say, oh, this is wrong. They need to be educated. Some see movies as all bad because they're bad movies. I personally don't eat spinach because there's a tribe of spinach worshipers in Papua New Guinea. Actually, I made that up. But these are not moral issues like immodesty. You know, we're to have certain matters where we, how people view us, are, you know, moral issues. But then there are things like this. How do we treat one another? How do the strong and the weak treat each other? Now, notice that these, in this passage, strong and weak are mentioned. And he begins right off, verse 1, now except the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith, he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Well, see, that's a weak conscience. It means that they don't feel free in themselves to eat meat. There's nothing wrong with eating meat. There's some people who think it's a terrible sin. Some people believe the vegan lifestyle or vegetarian lifestyle is a righteous one. It's no more righteous than anything else. Food is not an issue. Verse 3 says, the one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. So that's the tendency from both directions. If you eat meat because you have no issue in conscience, well, then the thought is to despise the person that does not eat, because look at them. They can't even eat meat. Their conscience is so weak. Look at to view them with contempt. And the one who does not eat tends to judge the one who eats as doing something wrong because it feels wrong to them. But that is improper to do that, and it's not to the glory of God. And that was what the test point was in what we looked at this morning in viewing the glory of God in regard to eating. Cindy, my blood sugar is low. If you could bring me something to deal with that, I would appreciate it while I'm going on here. Sorry. But there are tendencies from each person to view the other side in a way that is from their standpoint. And we're not talking about altering the conscience. We don't want a person's weak conscience to be defiled. We don't want them to ignore their conscience. We want their conscience to deal with them according to truth. And we're also not saying that there's wrong on both sides, that the weak person and the strong person in conscience. And again, a strong conscience does not condemn you when you do something that's not wrong. But a weak conscience may condemn you, will condemn you, when you do something that is not wrong because it is wrong to you. And that's the issue we're speaking of. Thank you. Can you turn it on, yeah? My wife. Thank you. When I, in my early Christian life, held to some matters of a weak conscience, I believed that the King James was the only version. Certain other things. I won't go into all that. But when I was told that was a weak faith, weak conscience, well, I took offense at that. I thought I was a strong one by holding up the standard. But the strong is where all Christians should get in time. Paul speaks of himself as the strong. We who are strong, he says in this passage, should not please ourselves. We should bear with the infirmities of the weak. So the weak are not where we want to be. It's not strong to condemn something as wrong. That's not wrong. That's weak. That's a weak conscience. And we'll all have our personal preferences and disciplines, and that's not what we're speaking about here. You make choices for yourself. There are things that you decide you're not going to do because for you, you don't want to make a temptation for yourself. It might lead to other things. That's because we have different backgrounds. But as far as right and wrong, this, which is what this is speaking of in dealing with our conscience, these are our moral issues. We're not to judge each other or despise each other based on these amoral things. Let's walk through the passage some more. Now, I noted at the beginning, what I just looked at, is that we have differences in how we view things that God does not give us a law about. Eating, drinking, meat or vegetables, all that is not of a moral matter. Verse 4, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. He who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So, and in this morning, I mentioned that there were in the Corinthian church, because of the background in idolatry, some who believed or used to believe that demons, evil spirits, got into food. And when you ate the food, the evil spirits got into you. Now, that's superstition. That's false teaching. That's false religion. So it's not true. But some people, when they came to Christ, would still hold on to some of that thinking. And if they saw you eat meat that had been sacrificed in an idol's temple to get rid of the evil spirits, and then it was put in the marketplace, and you bought it, they would think of that you were worshiping an idol. So there was nothing wrong with the meat. There was nothing about the idol worship in the temple that was true. There's only one true God, and the rest are just idols, and they're not to be considered as a weighty matter. But some people would be offended by it. So if you ate meat and they saw you do that, that you knew was sacrificed to an idol, well, their conscience would be compromised. And they would, possibly because of your strength of faith, they would eat the meat and defile their conscience. When their conscience was telling them, even though it was wrong, that this was evil. So they needed to clear the conscience part of it first. So what we do with people is we don't press our liberty. Liberty is a great thing. We should all have liberty. Some sections of Christianity are against liberty. They view liberty as a bad thing. They view it as licentiousness, that you're doing things that are evil. And it's not evil when you do what is your right to do. There's no food regulations for the Christian. There were food regulations for the Jews. That was one of the issues the Jews had. If you're dealing with Jews, sometimes you would run into issues where they would consider it to be sinful if you ate pork, for example. Go home and eat pork all you want, but when you're with others who are still struggling with that,
The glory of God was that you would be sensitive to their conscience while their conscience is being built up to understand this new covenant regulations regarding food, which there are not any. So this is what he's speaking of. Verse 11. For as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. So Paul says, okay, you've got your understanding, and your understanding may be very strong, accurate regarding food and drink. That's how you live. Someone else feels that they have to be more careful because in their minds, they're sinning if they partake in the same thing. That's for them. What Paul says here, do your thing, that you're giving account of yourself to God. We don't give an account of you to God. You give that to for yourself. And when we're with you, we will respect the fact that you have a weak conscience in this matter, and we will not parade our liberty in front of you. You, on the other hand, who are weak, should not judge us if you see us eating things which you consider to be wrong, because they're not wrong. You got to understand that that God does not condemn us. You should not either. So this is the way we glorify God. This is choosing the glory of God rather than my own glory. The tendency, of course, for the strong is to despise the weak and to say, oh, that's just stupid. The eagle on an American flag is an idol? That's just crazy. And for the weak to say, you don't see that that's an idol? Well, you're worshiping idols. You got an idol right here in the church building. And that's the way it goes. So this is to keep the unity and the glory of God by choosing what God says here. Is that the strong, verse 13, do not let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. So the strong will not just throw up their freedom and make a brother stumble. Verse 14, this is an important verse. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. And we're talking about food and drink here. All moral issues, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Well, for example, let's just say you believe from some past experience you've had that a turnip is something that demons live in. And you just, when you come to Christ, you're glad for your new life, but that turnip thing is still in your mind. And as a young Christian, sometimes have ultra sensitive consciences about things that crop up really from our past. And we're not understanding it fully yet because we haven't matured much. So we would not want to with that person if they come to the church and join the church and they have a real problem with turnips. We probably won't want to have a Turnip Tuesday dinner or at the church because they're struggling with that. Turnips are not that important to where we would press our liberty for eating turnips, which I wouldn't eat anyway. Turnip greens are great. We wouldn't push that and defile their conscience because if they think it's unclean, as far as they are concerned, it is unclean. For them then to partake of it because others are, because of peer pressure or whatever, then they would be sinning against their conscience. And we don't want people to sin against their conscience. We want people's conscience to become enlightened and educated and, accurate as to right and wrong. We don't want to defile a conscience where it doesn't work later properly or people go against it. That gets to be habitual. We want them to have a clear conscience. So nothing's wrong in itself. But verse 15, if because of food your brother is hurt, you're no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. You see, this is how it gets into the glory of God. God does this. God is gentle toward us. He is sensitive toward us. He understands our ignorance. He treats us with us in our, you know, immaturity and leads us to maturity. He is patient with us. So therefore, verse 16, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You get that. That is a moral thing. That's a basic foundation of Christianity. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Eating and drinking is a side issue. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. In other words, you can make something that is not evil, evil, by pushing your standard on someone else. If music is an amoral issue. There's a lot of bad lyrics and stuff in music, but music in itself is an amoral issue. You can have immoral music, but music in itself, not an issue. Rock, classical, whatever. There's no law about that. I've heard all the sermons coming up about, you know, how rock music makes your muscles weaker and you can't lift as much, and that, you know, and there are people who believe that in certain cultures that music invites demons. It's the same kind of thing as we saw in the Corinthian church. But, if you have freedom about that, there's going to be some people who just think that's, you know, the devil's music, and you don't want to be blasting that in their ears. There's a lot of examples we run into. Because the thing is that we want to grow and please the Lord. And really, it's not a bad thing if people don't do something that they could do that is not important. And we're not talking about going to church here or reading the Bible or something that God tells us to do. We're talking about things that we don't have to do. We don't have to eat that certain food. We don't have to drink that certain drink. It's not the main issue. Verse 18, for he who in this way serves Christ acceptable to God and approved by men, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. If you can't do something knowing it's the will of God, or if you do something believing it's not the will of God, well, then you've sinned. In a few verses in Romans 15, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. That, again, is the choice that we saw in 1 Corinthians this morning. You choose the glory of God. The glory of God is to protect the conscience of that weaker brother. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Whatever was written in earlier times, written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now see, that's getting to the heart of what this gets into. And this is, we saw some of that with the eagle. Is that if you handle it wrong, you have division. You have people who leave, you have bitterness, judgmental spirits, despising of people. And we had all that. But if you do it for the glory of God, you have none of that. We're with one accord, one voice. You know, our unity is not based on circumstance or agreement in everything that we do. Our unity is based upon the Spirit of God. We're to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's been given to us by God. We're not captive to the whims of others to be unified or not. We are unified by God. And if we allow something to dig in there, that's an amoral issue. If we push our liberties, or if we judge others based upon our own attitude toward all moral issues, things are not, that are not mentioned in Scripture, not regulated, not given as laws of God by God, then we cause division. And you see what Paul is saying here is that one voice, one mind, same unity in the Spirit of God. Therefore, verse 7, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. God is glorified by us taking note of the weak and seeking to edify them and not please ourselves. God is glorified by accepting one another, loving one another, and so proving to be His disciples. It is the way of the world to get angry about something and something not going our way and making it all about us and blowing up unity and becoming disunified with people over your own petty opinions. And the church does not have to follow that. Now, there's a lot of churches, a lot of lost people in churches, and that's what really causes these breakups in most cases, not in all. But in choosing to be like God, in choosing to be gentle, in choosing to be patient, in choosing to work to edify, to remain of one mind, we choose that. You don't let your feelings start getting stirred up and then they overtake you and then you get bitter and then you're thinking something and that thing in your head starts to become more important and then you start getting offended and then you strike. That is not the will of God. And so we're not circumstantially held to that. We are held to that by will, by the work of God in our hearts, so that we choose the glory of God and what pleases Him instead of what we feel like. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful to You for Your patience toward us. We've all had occasions of not being free, not having the liberty You've given to us. We know among the early church with the Jewish background that there was a lot of that, and Hebrews speaks to it. But Lord, how You have set us free and giving us righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, we praise You for that. Lord, may we be sensitive to those who are too sensitive in their conscience, and may they be built up, and may, Lord, we enjoy together unity to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.